Galatians 4, 4 and 5 read, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we too might receive adoption as sons." What that verse, or those verses, tell you is that God had a plan for the history of salvation. The passages that we read tonight, you can call them highlights. There are more, we just selected a few of them, but highlights of what you would call salvation history. God's providence working in history to bring about salvation. Salvation history. In other words, it is no coincidence that when Christ is born, he is born when he is born. He is born where he is born. And he is born how he is born. It was when the fullness of time had come that God sent forth his Son, born under the Virgin, under the law. It was no coincidence also, as we've talked about this last week, that he died, when he died, how he died, where he died, and that he rose, where he rose, when he rose, how he rose. For instance, the medieval author Dante, I know only the hardcore people come to Easter Vigil so I can quote Dante. Dante makes the point in his Paradise that the Roman Empire at that time was the paradigm, was the stereotype for a worldwide empire, and it has been really ever since then. You can think of the Roman eagle that was placed outside the temple. And so it was in God's providence that God, the Son, Jesus Christ, would be crucified under the Roman Empire. That was to show that he bore not just the guilt of some small place somewhere, but that he bore the guilt of the entire world. But more than that, we can see in Scripture that God was teaching his people. He was preparing his people. He was waiting on his people throughout the Old Testament to the right moment to bring about Jesus. They had to go through Moses. They had to go through Joshua. They had to go through the judges. They had to go through the kings and through the captivities to get to this point. And in all those things, God was teaching them, he was showing them, and he was writing for us the Old Testament, the Holy Scriptures. And at the right moment, at the right time, he brought about Jesus Christ, his Son taking on our flesh, coming into the world in the fullness of time. And you can think about it in this way, the way that our Easter Vigil liturgy likes to talk about a lot, that God was preparing his people for the moment when they would go out of darkness into the light of Christ. It starts back in the beginning. In the beginning, the world was dark. It was without form and void, and there was darkness. But the first thing that the Lord said was this: "Let there be light." And he created the light. There was light. And he saw that the light was good. Light was the first thing that God created. It was the first thing that God called good. He designed this world to be a world of light. He liked light so much that even when the sun went down, he put a lesser light to rule the night. That's how much he liked light. But after Adam had fallen into the darkness of sin, after Adam had fallen, darkness came into man's heart. The darkness of sin, the darkness of the devil, the darkness of death itself. And it overshadowed the light of the world. The Lord saw that man's heart was continually wicked all the time. And so he deemed it right to dispel that darkness for a time. He dispelled that darkness with another kind of darkness. He sent a very long, very dark, very gloomy, if you will, rain shower for 40 days and 40 nights to flood the earth. But the 8 souls of Noah and his family were preserved in the ark of the Christian church, as the prayer puts it. And the sun came out. And with the sun, a bow in the sky, a covenant between God and his people. God showing his people that he was working from the darkness of sin and death to the light of Christ. That covenant would be one day fulfilled. One day fulfilled to bring about a new covenant. And again, when God saw the darkness of slavery in sin in Egypt, he put a pillar of cloud in the sky by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide his people, to give them light on the way out of slavery to sin through the baptismal Red Sea waters into the light of the promised land. And when God saw the darkness of his suffering servant Job, he gave Job the words of light, the words of resurrection to speak light and comfort in the midst of darkness and death. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He shall see him because he would have light to see him. And once more, in that final reading we read, when God saw the darkness of idolatry in Babylon, he gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the light of Christ and the light of the fiery furnace, a flame that the wicked men thought was to destroy, but for the righteous was only to burn away the sinful dross and to reveal that pre-incarnate Christ, the man of light himself, as their salvation. And in all these times and places and historical events, God was preparing his people, working about salvation after salvation after salvation. You can think of them as little lights, little salvations, to bring about the great light, the great salvation. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. The Paschal candle that we blessed earlier tonight, and we all lit our individual candles from, it's the liturgical representation of Christ coming into this world, into our lives. It is, as we said, the light of Christ. The light of Christ, the light of Christ. Thanks be to God. And it is lit now during the time of Easter, and also lit at baptisms, because those things are connected. God sent forth his Son that we might receive adoption as sons. For when Christ is raised from the dead tonight, when Christ defeats death and is raised from that tomb tonight, when Mary Magdalene and the disciples discover the empty tomb, when Jesus appears to Mary as the divine gardener, salvation history, it has come to its climax. This truly is the most holy of all the weeks, Holy Week. For it is the celebration of the salvation of the world being accomplished in God's providential history. And tonight, this most holy night, after Jesus has been arrested for our guilty actions, after he bore the guilt of the world on the cross, deemed guilty by the Roman Empire, after he drank the cup of God's wrath, that he might give us his cup of mercy, he is risen. He is risen. And you have been raised with him. It's no coincidence, dear saints, that you were born when you were born, that you had or have the parents that you had or have, that you were chosen by God to be one of his children, that your life circumstances have brought you to sit in these chairs tonight, to remember your baptism, to hear the salvation history brought about by God in world history, to receive the light of Christ. And when you remembered your baptism earlier, that is precisely what you remembered. You remember that in God's good timing and in his good ways, he allowed you, invited you, brought you to himself, to be a part of his salvation history, to be a part of the salvation history of Christ by dying with Christ and by rising again with him. That is what we confess. His death is now your death. And if you have died to sin, you will also live with Christ, because his resurrection is also your resurrection. He is your life, and in the fullness of time, he has brought you here, out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why you lit your individual candle off of his candle. Because his Easter is your Easter, his Passover, your Passover, and his light, your light. He is the light of the world, but he also calls you the light of the world. And who receives this light does not hide it under a bushel, but receives it with joy and goes out and shows it to others like a city set on a hill. You have received the light of his resurrection in your life, and that ancient darkness has been forever banished. To him be all the honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.